Welcome to Living Villa Capelli, where we learn life is so much sweeter when you add a little Italian to it. And now your hosts, Paul Capelli and Stephen Crutchfield.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Living Villa Capelli. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Paul. Welcome to our cozy little villa here in Puglia, Italy.
Yes. And it always is cozy when we're recording because for some reason, Paul and I cannot get our act together to record during the day.
Yes. And it's nice and cozy because we're in our stone apartment made of solid stone from about the 1400s. And the heat is on because it's been a little chilly here.
Yes.
So, and we have a kitten in here with us who's sick. He has a cold, so we thought we'd bring him in. We don't usually bring the cats or dogs into the house, but this little guy needs help, so.
Well, you shouldn't say the dogs, because one dog is spoiled now, and he lives inside at night with
us. Yes, because he had a broken leg, snapped in two, hit by a car in front of the house, and had to be operated on. Steel titanium plate in his leg, and $3,500 later,
he's a spoiled two rat. Surgeries, because the first titanium steel plate they put in his leg, he bent.
Yeah.
He was... didn't like to be on the leash when he was walking, and he would drag you along. And I think somewhere along that way of him forcing himself along, you know, trying to make him go slow, he bent the freaking thing. So we had to have two surgeries.
Well, also because the titanium piece wasn't really the right size for his strength and weight.
Well, he was kind of in between, I thought, something like that, right?
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever.
Anyway. Poor guy. So now he got used to sleeping inside. So now he sleeps inside with us.
And he snores.
Yes, louder than Paul, actually. So what I want to talk about tonight is this wonderful event we went to the other night.
Saturday night?
Was it Saturday? Whenever it was. Our friend Massimo at his bar had a wonderful band playing. I will say Paul had heard them before. So we kind of debating, do we want to go? Do we not want to go? What is
Stephen,
going on?
I'd heard them before is an understatement. I've been raving about them for years.
Yes. But to me still, it was cold. It was very cold actually that night. I don't know. I think it was late. I forget. We had kind of decided not to go. And then one of our friends texted us and said, no, please come. Because other friends had bailed out on us. So we were both like, no, let's just call it a night. But then we decided to go. And I'm so glad we did because Paul was so right. These guys were amazing. Amazing.
They're called the Murgensis because they come from this town called Minervino or Minervino Murgia. It's, you know, inland in the middle of nowhere under not far away from a volcano, actually, where we get our spring water from the volcano. It's called the Vulture. So Murgensis, I guess, is their way of saying that they are from the Murgia, which are the wild lands not far from our house. Murgia, we just found out recently, means rock in Greek, or maybe ancient Greek, I don't know.
I believe it also means raised rock.
Oh,
I believe
whatever.
It's kind of cool because technically we're in the high Murgia, which is plateau. No, we are not, but the park next to us.
Minervino is the high Murgia. We're in the low Murgia.
Oh, and it means it's almost like a plateau, I believe. I'd have to look that up again.
Yeah, anyway, so these guys sing some, you know, traditional songs from the Murgia. Most of them are kind of dirty songs, actually. A lot of innuendo about, you know, young girls and stuff like that. And the median age of these guys must be 162. And, I mean, they're older than dirt.
And luckily they do have all their teeth.
Yes. And one of them has a huge belly.
Yes.
But they also sing old Neapolitan songs. And, I mean, they're really great musicians. One of the old guys who weighs about 30 pounds plays the bass guitar. The bass guitar is probably taller than he is. But he can really get that rhythm going, and he was singing some pretty good songs. Except one song was really hysterical.
Frank Sinatra's
"I Did It My Way."
Yes,
I mean
it was a Saturday Night Live skit. It was
the
great.
Only words he probably knew from that song were "I Did It my way." The rest he couldn't understand a damn thing he was singing.
I did it my way. It was basically, was it Buckwheat Sings the Blues, whatever that was on Saturday Night Live. You could not understand a word he's saying except for I Did It My Way. It was hilarious.
But besides that, the songs they sing are really, really, I mean, Italian music from the 1960s is probably some of the best music in the world. You know, one of the most famous songs in all of music history was written by a guy from down here in Puglia. His name is Domenico Modugno, and he sang Volare, which I think everybody knows. So these guys sing those kinds of songs.
Come on, sing a little bit for them. Come on.
Those kinds of songs and other love songs, but like songs from the 60s of Italian music were just blow away. And the lead guy who is way overweight and drinks way too much, he just belts out these love songs and he points to people. He gets the crowd going. Even all the young people in the crowd, they know all these old songs. They stand up and sing along with them, and everybody gets shit-faced.
What I liked about him, which I noticed, he was very good. He was the other guy. He was smiling the entire time when he was singing. He was generally having a good time, and it was very infectious. So he definitely was a crowd worker. Unfortunately, he had a cold, so his voice wasn't great, and he didn't sing a lot that night. But
and we plan on having them play at the inauguration of our new Agriturismo restaurant.
But then and they did have one younger guy. There were six of them total, I believe.
Yes.
He was the keyboardist. I mean, I thought he was pretty amazing because there wasn't a sheet of music in front of him the entire night. And, I mean, I'm sure, obviously, the professional musicians, I mean, it's what they do.
And they practice.
Yeah. But to me, it's still pretty amazing when, you know,
and he had a pretty good voice, too.
Yeah. And he was doing, you know, so he would do, like, on the, what's the song, Americano? Is that the name of it?
Tu vuoi fare l'americano, americano, americano.
Which the trumpets play
a huge...
But you
were born in Italy. That's like me. It's my song.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, it's a song about me.
Oh. They were singing about you.
The other great thing about that night, though, was that just really, really simple food. They had a loaf of bread that if you go on Facebook, you can probably see a picture of me holding this loaf of bread. It weighed...
I'll put a link to it.
I think it weighed 8 pounds, an 8-pound loaf of bread. I mean, it's like as tall as I am. It's beautiful to look at. So they had some sort of a cook there, you know, with an outdoor grill and Massimo's dad working the grill. And this cook, chef, whatever the hell he is, he would slice a big chunk of this bread. And they had these, they look like provolones hanging from a post over the hot coals. So the provolones, they're actually called cacciacavallo. It's a type of cheese mostly here from the Puglia and Basilicata region. It's called cacciacavallo because they would drape them over the backs of horses when they would take them down from the hills after they were ready to be consumed. So these things are hanging. They also look like scamozza, if you know what scamozza looks like. You know, it's kind of like a huge testicle, actually. They're hanging over the hot coals, just, you know, swinging there. And this guy would take a big chunk of bread, then he would gingerly peel off, cut off some of the melted cheese from this big ball of cheese that's hanging there.
You missed that because, I mean, they're basically, it's a big ball of cheese that's slowly but surely melting over the hot flames. Right. So it's kind of dripping down this melted, gooey greatness.
Yes, and going on bread. And you would buy a slice of that bread with this cheese on it, and you would have a drink. And then they had this frying pan, the skillet that is on a tripod. It's about as big as a round table with a long handle on it, and it kind of can swivel around, so almost like on a gyroscope.
Yeah.
And that's what they make pasta on. They made what we call manate, which they're also called strascinati, but strascinati here is usually orecchiette, but these are manate. It's sort of a flat pasta with three indentations from the three fingers that are used to press the pasta when you're making it. And it was with a, what was it? What was the sauce?
Favetta with a sausage.
Oh, right. Favetta with sausage. You know, fava puree and sausage, and you get a plate of that. Man, it was good.
I really want this skillet thing. It's so cool. I mean, when he says small table, it's probably...
I said round table.
Round table. It's three feet, 4 feet circumference? I mean,
no, diameter? You're exaggerating.
No, it's at least maybe, 3 feet.
Nah, it's probably 2.5.
It seems at least 3. Anyway, it's huge, huge, huge. And then basically a big burner underneath it. And so well, that's what a lot of the caterers use when they're making pasta for, and they're not, they don't have a restaurant or a actual kitchen they can use. They bring this with them. We've seen it a couple other places, and it's actually really, really cool.
I think some of it is also for show. I mean,
obviously,
it looks really cool when they're doing it. Because you kind of like flip the pasta in it without it ever coming off the tripod.
Exactly. It's kind of, it's definitely like a fair, food fair sort of implement.
Yeah.
No, it's really, really cool.
Massimo's dad has the best meat in town. Terlizzi is known for its meat. Massimo's dad is a butcher, and they, unfortunately, they didn't have any meat that night, did they? Except for the sausage that was in the pasta.
I mean, I think if you went into, this was actually kind of in a little cute little square in the back of his bar. I mean, right out of a storybook, beautiful little square, but it was actually in that little outside square, so it wasn't in his actual little small bar. I think in the bar you could have gotten food. But again, it was one of those nights too, just again, not even just the music again was incredible, but even the location, just like I'm saying, it was something, one of those things where you come to Italy and this is the kind of thing you would expect to see. I mean, in this back little corner square, I mean, it's not really on a major thoroughfare. You'd have kind of know where the square is.
It's in the center of the old town, like the ancient town, which is dates back to the 900s, not 1900s, 900s. And this little square, by the way, is it's called in dialect La Defense, the defense, which is where in olden days, I guess they would actually hold the troops in there in case of attack, because then from there, from inside the town, inside the square, there was exits to the moat outside, so the troops could get outside quickly. So it was called the defense, and there's a tower there that's part of the ancient castle of the town. And in this square is where my grandfather used to keep his donkey and his horse that would take his carriage, or not his carriage, his wagon, out to the fields so he could work out in the fields.
Yeah, so was the tower right behind them they're playing, basically?
Yes, that's the tower. That's one of the towers of the castle, the only one that's left.
I did take a pictures and hoping of trying to post something, but unfortunately the lights were horrible. It was they had like this blue lighting on them, and it gave them a horrible color. I'll post a picture, but it's not going to do it justice.
I have some, too. Yeah. And I take better pictures than you.
Yes, you do, but I don't think you're going to have much better because of the lighting.
Whatever,
it was bad lighting anyway. Going back, actually, I'll say in the, I mean, just to me, it was just, the songs were infectious. I don't really know. I knew, is the song called Americano? What's it called?
No, it's called Tu Vuoi Fare l'Americano. Americano,
okay. I knew that one. The other ones I didn't even know, but it's just infectious, just the energy of them. It was amazing. And it's one of those things where when you come to Italy, this is what you hope to see. Sometimes you probably never do. If you go to Rome or Milan or any of those, but you're probably not going to see it because it's not going
to. And what you don't want to see is Steven dancing to some of these songs.
Yes.
Steven is like the worst dancer on the planet.
I'll have to post some pictures, or not pictures, video
please.
Later of me dancing at some point. No, but these are those areas where you won't see it in the big tourist towns. I think they'd probably get a ticket, or they would not have to get a permit, so it would never happen. Whereas here, it seems like you just kind of can round a corner and find something like that. And especially in the South, it just seems a little more real, more authentic. It's what it was.
Because forever. Illegal is more appropriate here.
Yes. Well, no. It's just, it's more accepting. I thought it was just an amazing night. It was just the whole thing. And then, of course, I kept wanting to get a name for the dish because I thought it seemed very unique, the caciocavallo on the bread. It seemed, you know, everybody had kind of seen it before, except for me. And so I was like, what's the name? And they're like, cheese on bread. It was like caciocavallo on bread. I was like, okay, that's not exciting. I thought it was going to have some cool dialect name or, and like, no.
So. The best dialect name is a town not far from here, Andria, which is the largest, here they call it comune, I guess city, but not a province, in all of Italy. It's 125,000 people. But they make this horse meat. Smoked horse meat, and they call the name of it, I think it's cool, Mishishk.
It's actually delicious.
Yes.
Oh, amazingly.
Even though it's horse meat, I know people are probably grossing out.
Talk,
but anyway,
we'll talk about the horse meat in another episode because we're going to stick with the music because I want to get into a little bit another group totally different that we enjoy having at the Villa. We've had them several times. One time for the actual wedding reception we had here, they basically sing traditional Italian folk music.
Well, Southern Italian.
Southern Italian. Okay. What's it? I would say it wrong. So you say the name of what the style is called. Pizzica.
Pizzica. Yeah. Pizzica. Because it's like spicy or pinchy. And also has to do with the tarantella, which is an old Southern Italian dance. But the tarantella comes from the tarantula, as does pizzica, because the tarantula would pinch you. And then you would go into this dancing frenzy.
Oh, really? That almost sounds like it's like, what's the Louisiana, the whole...
I don't know.
Where the voodoo sort of esque.
Oh, where they get,
I mean, it sounded sort of like that, where you say they get... Bitten
it's
kind of
like St. Elmo's
don't they get
dance.
Don't they get bitten by snakes and go into frenzies there? I don't know. I thought they did.
Tarantulas aren't dangerous, though.
All right. Well, I'll describe this group. Basically, usually it's four guys. I don't know if this is what the group we use. I mean, it might be a little bit different in different bands, but they're four guys, and they play these very traditional instruments, being one is sort of a guitar ukulele, I believe, a tambourine, something that like looks like two sticks they bang together with bells. It's just these really interesting old instruments, and then they sing these beautiful old folk songs that are just...
And they sometimes wear like Zorro masks over their eyes.
Yes.
Which makes it even cooler. And they sometimes bring a couple of dancers with them.
The dancers are fun. Yeah. But,
we have them right here in our backyard.
Yeah.
And we do, we have parties, and it's cool.
I mean, one guy does the tambourine he makes, right? He makes actually all the tambourines for all over Italy for this particular style of music.
He also does it for major, even rock groups.
I know that.
He's like one of the best tambourine makers in Italy. And some of them are enormous. Like some
they're
of the
huge.
Tambourines are as big as that frying pan you were talking about.
No, they're huge. They are huge. I do have some links to their stuff on Facebook on YouTube, so I will definitely link to them because just to hear their kind of style of music is a lot of fun.
Can we just go back to the '60s music thing and the Neapolitan stuff because I think it's pretty interesting. Our custodian here, our caretaker, he hates to be called both of those things. I refer to him as our manager because he doesn't like to be called custodian.
But what's the other term you use? Fatutum? No?
Not exactly, but close enough. Factotum. Which is a Latin word for someone who does everything. Fact is to do. Totum, I guess, is all. With someone who does all, factotum. I mean, you can get kind of dirty when you're thinking about what that might really mean, but what they used to call people handymen.
Handymen, yes.
Were factotum, someone who can do everything. But as soon as Nino, our factotum caretaker, manager, whatever, gets here in the morning or in the afternoon, he comes twice a day, he turns on his little radio that he plugs in the courtyard, and what you hear blasting in the villa all day long is 60s music from this radio station called Radio Italia Anni 60.
Right.
And then, of course, they mix it up. Yeah, they do Anni 70 with 70s, Anni 80, 80s, but that's about as far as they go. But I got to tell you, though, when you walk into the courtyard and that little radio is playing and these songs from the 60s and 70s, Italian songs are playing, it really feels like an Italian movie. The whole place just lights up. You hear Domenico Modugno, you hear Mina, who has like the greatest voice in the history of Italian music. She's also like every gay man's dream here in Italy. She's, I guess, like our Barbara Streisand back in the States. But Mina can belt it out. I remember when I was 14 years old, I was taken along with my mom by my aunt Liberty, to San Remo, which is way up north on the northwest corner of Italy, just before you get into France. And they've always been famous for, the high life, sort of like Monte Carlo. It's on the way to Monte Carlo. And they have this big, beautiful casino there. And my aunt Liberta, would like to gamble. So she would go to the casino while my mother and I would just walk around town or hang out in the hotel. And then one night she comes back and she had lost most of her money. And she asked my mother if she could borrow some money from my mother. My mother said, yes, of course. And said, well, let's walk back to the casino together. So we walked back to the casino. And I remember I was 14 years old and we're standing outside the casino. And from the rooftop of the casino comes this incredible music with this incredible voice. And it was Mina belting out some song in Italian. I think that's when I became gay, actually.
Yes.
Yes, it was like listening to Barbara Streisand live in San Remo. But all these songs, these 60 songs, the 60 songs are more cinematic. It's like, you feel like you're in an Italian movie when you hear them. Sofia Loren, Marcello Mastroianni, Federico Fellini, that kind of stuff.
What's the one with Shirley Bassey covered, but in English? Isn't that the one?
Oh, that's Mina, yeah.
That's Mina, right?
Yeah, Mina sings it as, I can't remember the name now.
Quando, not quando.
Dimmi quando tu verrai, dimmi quando, quando. And a lot of these Italian songs, people in the States don't even realize that they're Italian songs, like Che sarà, sarà. That people think it's, maybe it was a Greek song,
I thought it was French for some reason.
No, it's Italian.
Ah.
Que sera, sera means whatever will be, which is part of the lyrics.
I knew that. I actually, now that I know Italian, I know that. I always just thought for some reason it sounded French. No. And now that I know sera, sera, I know that. Yeah. That's so.
I mean, there are Latin languages. So they do
sound
like.
Yeah, but that's like, oh my gosh, I never put two and two together learning what will be.
Right. The Shirley Bass song, I think, is more. It's a cover of a Mina song, which I can't think of the name now. But we'll look it up. Stephen will find it for you.
Yeah,
we'll put it online.
I'll put it on the notes.
It's an amazing song. Actually, we shot a video for my 45th birthday.
Yes, because it was 45th. It was a big one because
we rented a sailboat from Chelsea around the island of Manhattan, and I videotaped the whole thing. Just beautiful scenes on this big, huge sailboat, wooden sailboat. I guess it's actually a schooner that we rented out with a lot of our friends. Beautiful summer evening because my birthday is June 28th. You can send gifts and presents whenever you like. Then when we put it all together, we put it to this Shirley Bassey cover of the Mina song.
Yes.
More. Because it's like a love song, but it sounds like, because of the way we shot the video, almost like you're talking about New York City. Because I love you, I hate you is part
of the
lyrics.
Yeah, that's it.
I love you, I hate you.
And if any of our friends listening have a copy of this DVD, because we gave everybody at the party a copy.
And we can't find ours.
I had about 10 extra copies, and I swear.
John Herbst, yes, if you're out there, you must have one.
I know he has one. So he has to make a rip and send us one because I swear we had 10 or 15 copies and I put them all away thinking, like, I can't get rid of this. It was so amazing and I cannot find them. But
right.
Anyway.
And what was most amazing about that video, though, was that I shot it in June, end of June.
Yes.
Year 2000. So, yes, I was 45.
It was 45. Right. Then it makes sense.
So when we went back
2001.
No.
2000.
Oh, well, no, 2001. 2001. Yes. So I was 46 actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I knew it was an off year. But when you go back and watch the video, one of the most beautiful things about it, with this beautiful Shirley Bassey cover of Mina's song, I Love You, I Hate You, New York, basically is what it's about. There were just beautiful shots of the Twin Towers. Like the last time we saw the Twin Towers, because of course that September, they were gone. But the 60 songs in Italian music are just blow away. especially when you see the videos, the way they used to produce them on Rai Television, R-A-I Television, you know, black and white videos back in the day. It's sort of like watching overdosing on Ed Sullivan with the Beatles and the Rolling Stones on the Ed Sullivan Show. The sets that they used to have, and you know, 30-piece orchestra on the stage, you know, being taped live, and these people just belting it out. And it was more, the music was more about the vocals, the vocalist, and the lyrics, whereas today it's all about rhythm and beat and all that yeah. kind of crap.
Yeah.
And Neapolitan songs, on the other hand, the real sort of the Neapolitan songs, like the blues of Italy, those people, when they sing those Neapolitan songs, everyone from, you know, Pavarotti and before that, they just, like, they rip their own lungs out of their chest when they're singing. They just lay their passion on the ground for anybody to walk on if they want. But, you know, they don't care what anybody thinks about them. They're just going to talk about this crazy love they have for someone or some place or, you know, their city. It's just, you can feel it. Even if you can't understand the lyrics, you can feel what they're singing about.
Yeah. You also reminded me a little bit when you said that he does, it's whatever, is it different channels or it's all the same channel? Because it's all 70s and all 60s.
No, it's the same radio station.
Oh, it is? Yeah, okay, because yeah, sometimes they say, tanti
setanta. Yes, which is, yeah, so do, yeah, like, they do 70s,
that's,
60s,
that's
80s.
Like their call, that's what and, I was and, doing. I was singing their call, what do you call that, their call music, I guess.
It's not like the same crap that we used to have in the States. When I was growing up, when I was a... You know, teenager, they would have doo-wop music.
Yeah, no,
you
know, something like
that. Oldies doo-wop, because doo-wop all kind of sounds the same. Italian music of the 60s, every song you hear, it's like a black and white Italian movie in your head.
But they also, they're very big into the cinema music, because the first time I was here, I remember listening, I was thinking, is that the Star Wars song? Like, yes. That is the Star Wars theme song. And they play the entire Star Wars theme song. The entire thing.
So was that anni 70 or 80?
70.
Oh, yeah.
It was 74 when Star Wars came out. Yeah.
Steven's a Star Wars nerd.
Yes, 74. And I still don't know how I remember Star Wars, because I would have been 0 years old when it came out. So I don't know how I remember it.
You were just born that year, right?
Yes.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. I don't remember how I know Star Wars. I remember going to theater to watch Empire Strikes Back, but which I would have been 4 years old. How do I remember that?
I don't know.
That tells you I was a nerd to begin with.
You know, and if you go on like YouTube and look up some of these videos of these Italian singers in the 60s and 70s, obviously, like I said earlier, they're all in black and white. So what we're thinking of doing here, hopefully this summer, is if we can find a cover band that does the 60s and 70s music, and we want to invite people primarily in their 40s, 50s, and older, even though a lot of young people said that they want to come as well, and everyone has to dress in black and white, and we want to project the videos on a giant screen of these songs, the way they were recorded on Rai Television back then, when Italy was really a beautiful place to live, when La Dolce Vita was really what Italian lifestyle was about. Now it's changed, obviously. But it'd be great to have all these older couples to have a night for them where they can dance and cry and kiss each other.
Would that band be sort of, you're talking about more big band than the group we saw? Sort of.
No, the group we saw could do it. Could certainly do it. But it would be great to also invite, some of those singers. Some of the original singers are still alive.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I mean, if we get one of those guys to come to the villa, it would be blow away.
Yeah, definitely. No, that would be so cool. No, they do some great concerts here. We've gone to 2 years ago, Solvereto, which is the a suburb, I guess, of Trelitzi.
Well, it's what they call a hamlet.
Hamlet, which was just listed as one of the top, what was the number? One of the top
places to visit.
In Italy.
Yes.
Cutest places. But they did
I think it was top 100, unfortunately, but.
Yeah. But they did a concert a couple years ago with Beatle cover songs. It was freaking amazing.
Yes, but with an orchestra.
Yeah, orchestra.
I mean, a big orchestra.
And then they would share. It was a couple of women and I think only one guy, if I remember
yes.
right.
But yeah,
they would
I
take
mean,
turns singing it. But it was just
right. But to be more exact, they weren't really cover songs. They were interpretations.
Interpretations,
of
exactly.
Beatles
that's the
songs, a lot of it jazz style.
Yeah,
but it was beautiful. And what was it? 4 years ago, we had a concert here at the Villa.
Oh, that was
a group
cool.
that was really amazing. They do this thing. It was one of my favorite albums actually when I was in college by a group called Reverbery, and they had this album called Rondo Veneziano, which was the best driving music ever. But it's music from the 1700s, it reinterpreted with electronic instruments, obviously.
Yes.
But it's just beautiful, and we had the group, one of the major groups in Italy, who does that. Does the cover of those songs dressed in 17th century costumes next to our pool with all these people sitting around, like hundreds of people, and these people just played this amazing, it was like listening to Bach
yes.
live under the full moon at the Villa.
That was beautiful. I mean, and I will have those, I definitely have pictures, and I have our own personal recording. I'll have to find it where it is on the camera. I don't think I ever downloaded it, but no, it was a really, really amazingly beautiful. So I'll have that in the show notes as well. And then, I mean, but also to clarify, I guess, to electronica, meaning basically I didn't necessarily get it. I loved their sound. And then when I saw them playing, it's basically orchestra instruments, but then they add a bass guitar and a drums, I believe.
Was an electric guitar.
Electric guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And that was like, those were the only minor little differences in the.
But we actually had to truck in a concert grand piano and put it next to the pool, and the pool was all lit up. And they had a lot of women musicians, women violinists, who were dressed in these 17th century costumes and wigs, and it was just blowing.
No, it was really, they're beautiful. And they did, I mean, the music itself was just amazing. So did we cover all our genres of music?
I think we did the music segment.
We did. We did a music. So again, remember, please, if you need anything from Villa Capelli, just head to villacapelli.com, VillaCapelli.
Capelli has two P's and two L's, because if you only put one P, it means hair. Capelli, yes. The way my name is hats. CAPPELLI.
So head to that, and you can sample some products. You can get the show notes, all that good stuff. You can get pictures of the villa, all kinds of good stuff. So, and we also appreciate any reviews. Please spread the word and give us a good review on iTunes. It helps us to spread a little bit of Italy around. And I think that's it. So until next time, arrivederci.
And buonanotte.
Ciao.
Ciao.